Please join us for our final reading from John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law was indeed given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known."
Hello? Okay. Let's start it all over again. Did you dash to the Christmas tree this morning and look for the presents with your name on it? Or you may have already opened your gift last night. Or you open your gifts as you receive them. I don't know. But one thing I know. I know that two families in Union received a precious early Christmas gift. They have been waiting and waiting. And finally, a few weeks ago, they were being notified that they can come, meet, and pick up their adopted baby. The whole family, including the grandparents, went to China to pick up this baby. I wasn't there at their first meeting, but from the excitement expressed in the email, I believe they were ecstatic. I believe there were tears of joy when they held the baby in their arms for the first time. There's something about babies that bring out the oohs and ahs from us. Perhaps it is because of their soft, delicate, rosy cheek. Perhaps because they are union of our love. Perhaps they represent our hopes and dreams. But baby is the last thing in the mind of the Jews when they were waiting for the Messiah. Baby is cute, but what can a baby do? They cannot even help themselves, can they? True, what can a helpless baby do? But against all logic, against all human wisdom, that was how God came to us 2,000 years ago. God was given eyebrows, elbows, kidneys, feet. The Word became flesh. The Latin word for flesh is carnal. And from this root, we get the English word carnal, of the flesh, carnivorous, meat-eating, and incarnation, which literally means God and fleshed in the person whom we know as Jesus of Nazareth. Can you imagine that God left his glory, took on a body of flesh, and became one of us? It never dawns on me the significance of the humanity of Jesus until I went for a pastoral visit last Saturday. I went with a church friend to visit Alan, an 85-year-old man. I first came to know Alan 2 years ago when I got a call from a chaplain of the Queen Mary Hospital. She asked if I could help an elderly English gentleman with a funeral of his dear wife. Alan and his wife lived alone in Hong Kong with no children. He was devastated when his beloved wife for more than 50 years passed away. We became friends, and he came back to the Lord after Hazel's passing. But he hasn't been coming to church lately, and I find out that he had a bad fall and is homebound. So Joe and I went to visit Alan in Yuen Long in the New Territories, hoping to bring Christmas to him. Joe is not his real name, but I'm going to call him Joe for now. And as we talked to Alan, our conversation quickly turned to his health condition. He told us he had a triple bypass, but still suffered from irregular heartbeats. And Joe asked, "Have you had a 24-hour heart monitor? Are you taking the blue or the white pills?" And Alan's eyes lit up and said, "Do you have the same problem?" And yes, Joe replied. "In fact, I once had to take up to 9 grams of warfarin, but slowly reduced to a less strong drug called Cartia." And Alan was excited. He looked as if he finally met someone who understands. And he said, "I also have a back problem caused by a slight curvature of the spine." "Is it at the base of the spine?" Joe asked. "Yeah, how do you know?" Joe replied, "Believe it or not, I have the same problem. It is called scoliosis." Yeah, that's right. And the two men pointed at each other and laughed. We didn't sing any carol, nor quote any Bible verse that afternoon. But I believe Alan had a taste of Christmas. When he walked us to the door, he said, "The doctor has no time to explain to me. I have no one to talk to. It is great to know that someone has the same problem. Someone understands." The Word became flesh. God understands. He was touchable, approachable, reachable. God became man, but he came not as an unapproachable conqueror. He came as one whose first cry was heard by a passing girl and a sleepy carpenter. And were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. And for 33 years, he felt everything you and I have felt. He grew weary. He got colds. He felt weak. His feelings got hurt. To think of Jesus in such a light is not something we like to do. It makes us feel uncomfortable. It is easier to keep the humanity out of the incarnation, wipe the sweat out of his forehead, pretend that he never hit his thumb with a hammer. He's much easier to stomach that way. There's something about keeping him divine that keeps him from distance, that keeps him distanced, packaged, and predictable. But don't. Please don't. Let him be as human as he intended to be. Let him into the mire and the murk of our world. For only if we let him in, can he pull us out. Only if we let him in, can he pull us out. Listen to him. "Love your neighbor" was spoken by a man whose neighbors tried to kill him. "Pray for those who persecute you" came from the lips that would soon be begging God to forgive his murderers. "I am with you always" are the words of a God who in one instant did the impossible to make it possible for you and me. It happened in a moment. In one moment, a most remarkable moment, the Word became flesh. You see, in becoming man, God make it possible for human to see God. So people came to him. They came at night. They touched him as he walked down the street. They followed him around the sea. They invited him into their homes and placed their children at his feet. Why? Because he refused to be a statue placed on a pedestal. He chose instead to be Jesus. There's not a hint of one person who was afraid to draw near him. There were those who mocked him, those who were envious of him, those who misunderstood him, those who reverenced him. But there was not one person who considered him too holy, too divine, or too cholesterol to touch. There was not one person who was reluctant to approach him for fear of being rejected. Remember that. Remember that the next time when you find yourself even disappointing yourself. Remember that the next time when the guilt and shame burn holes in your soul. Or the next time you see a cold cathedral or hear a lifeless liturgy. Remember, it is man who creates the distance. It is Jesus who builds the bridge. The Word has become flesh. The Logos has become flesh. What does the Word or the word Logos mean? In Greek philosophy, Logos was the rational principle that gave order to the universe. This abstract principle became equated with God. I don't think you want me to go through 60 pages of the theological dictionary of the New Testament to explain to you what Logos is. What I can tell you is that Logos, the Word, is what John, the author, uses to describe Jesus. Our church is blessed with babies, as you may know. And I always visit families with new additions and have opportunities to carry many babies. And when they cry, I would say, "Are you hungry? Am I not holding you comfortably? What's wrong?" And how I wish the babies can tell me what is going on inside of them. But they don't answer my questions with words, and I have to guess the answers. Words or some form of communication is needed for me to know what is going on inside that young child, what he's thinking, feeling, or what he wants. Jesus, the revealer of God, is this Word. He communicates to us the thoughts, feelings, and desires of God. Yet he doesn't just talk about what goes on inside God. He is God. The Word became flesh. This is the Christmas message in four words. And this is the great truth that sets Christianity apart from all the other religions. Other religions have the Word became Word. A verbal revelation, writings, injunctions, moral codes. But our God did not just write us a letter. He did not just send us a representative. He did not just speak his laws from a mountain. He came to us as one of us. The infinite become an infant. If the Word only became Word, then our contact with God would only be intellectual. But in Jesus, the Word became flesh. Our God is personal. Divinity entered the world on the floor of a stable through the womb of a teenager. This is scandalous. But such is our God, willing to go to scandalous length to redeem us. His love is tenacious. The Word is standing in front of us and calling us by our names. God understands us and committed to be understandable to us. When we read the Bible, we are not just acquiring knowledge, but it's encountering with a personal God. Take out your service bulletin and tell me, what do you see on the front cover? And the Word became flesh. What do you see at the background? Do you see the actual letters? Look at the background. Do you see the letters? Do you see the words? Can anyone read the words? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Can you see it? It is the Scripture. It is the Scripture. And as we understand that the Word became flesh, Jesus, our Lord God, became flesh, the Bible comes alive to us. Kierkegaard, a great Danish theologian, tells the story of a prince who was running an errand for his father one day in a local village. And as he did so, he passed through a very poor section of the town. And looking through the window of his carriage, he saw a beautiful peasant girl walking along the street. And he could not get her off his heart. And he continued to come to the town day after day just to see her and to feel as though he was near her. His heart yearned for her. But there was a problem. How could he develop a relationship with her? He could order her to marry him. It was in his power to do so. But he wanted the girl to love him from the heart. He could go put on his royal garments and impress her with his regal entourage to drive up to her front door with soldiers and a carriage with 6 horses. But if he did this, he would never be certain that the girl loved him, or simply overwhelmed with his power, position, and wealth. And the prince came up with a solution, and you probably have guessed it. He gave up his kingly robe and symbols of power and privilege. He moved into the village, dressed only as a peasant, and he lived among the people, shared their interests and concerns, and talked their language. And in time, the young peasant girl grew to know him and love him. And this is what Jesus has done for us. The Word became flesh. The King of Heaven put aside his heavenly robes and divine prerogative, and he came to us as one of us. He lived among us, ate with us, drank with us, felt with us, all to win our love. He could have forced us, he could have overwhelmed us, but he chose to romance us. He is the God that stands here today with a smile of love and arms extended. He is the God who became real so that we could experience his transforming love. Jesus is not just a truth to believe in. He's a person to be experienced. Have you? How about your friends, your family, your colleagues? Do they know God's tangible love for them too? 2 days ago, I was invited to a Christmas caroling event at HSBC. And it was held on the upper floor of the HSBC headquarters, overlooking the beautiful evening skyline of Central. And there were food, drinks, and music. But what makes this gathering special are not these, but what happened next. In the nick of time, bankers turned guitarists and led carol singing. 3 business executives came forward and gave testimonies about the power of prayer at work. And another one stood up and started praying for her colleagues, and especially for a senior manager who attempted suicide by jumping from the top floor of the HSBC building in Kowloon the day before. There was much agitation and nervousness in the office. Everyone is worried about whether they will be the next one to be laid off. They're anxious about what will happen next. A group of Christians came together and embodied forth God's love. They sang, they prayed, they blessed their colleagues, they blessed the city, like the angels bringing the good news to the shepherd 2,000 years ago. They deliver the message to their colleagues. Do not be afraid, for today the Savior has been born to you. And they gave each person a little gift. It is a heart-shaped chocolate, and with a note that says, "Do not be anxious about anything. By prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests to God." The Word became flesh. We have experienced the tenacious love of God. Now let us live out this incarnational love amongst our people. Amen. Let's pray.